God had settled me on 16 through 30. So I ask you to bear with me and just pray for me and pray with me. Amen. We have to be obedient to the word of God. And that's what I try my best to do. Now, earth tremors were a common thing in Mexico City. So during the first few moments of this tremor, there was very little alarm. The previous week in most capitalists had endured a moderate earthquake without bothering to get out of their beds. But the disturbance this week was quite different. Downtown buildings began to vibrate violently. Their walls and girders groaned from the stress. Metal lampposts swayed and bent like rubber in their sockets in the streets. Telephone and electrical wires snapped. Windows shattered and huge chunks of concrete smashed murderously on the pavement below. Underground gas lines ruptured in large areas of the city, some erupting in geyser-like form. Now, thousands of residents raced from their homes in a panic. It was absolutely dark from the dust and the smoke. Everyone running and crying and yelling, men, women, and children, that the earth was coming to an end. Now, that quote, taken from a Newsweek magazine article back in 1985, captured just a portion of the terror that was experienced by those who went through the Mexico City earthquake. Now, this earthquake left 30,000 people homeless, and it left thousands of others dead. We refer to those type of things as actions or situations as natural disasters, or we may say that it's an act of God. But if an earthquake hit too close to you, it can and it will change your life forever. Now, in this morning's scripture, we find that Philippian earthquake that is described by Luke in this chapter. There was no exception. Its impact altered several lives forever. Now, Luke's focus was on the effect of the earthquake. His focus was in a particular location, which is a jailhouse, where they had two of our missionaries that were locked up. Paul and his company were followed by a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit of perdition that made money for her owners through, as the Bible says, soothsaying. In other words, she was a fortune teller. Now, for days, she cried out that these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, I would want somebody to tell me and show me the way of salvation. But you see, that was not their focus. She was doing this for other reasons. While this was true, it annoyed Paul, and probably because it was not of her own free will and accord. And he cast the spirit of perdition out of her. And the Bible tells us that it happened in that same hour. You see, Paul was able to cast out the demon in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he did it within that hour. It didn't say he took many, many years or many, many months. It said that hour. And you see, now this dried up the profits of her masters. You and I both know that if someone bothers or messes with your money, they're asking for trouble. Now, the Bible says that when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, this greatly angered them. So now these men had really turned against Paul and his group. They called Paul and they took him to the marketplace. And they presented them to the officials there. And they accused them of falsely teaching what was not beneficial for them. The Bible says that when they accused them, Paul and Silas, they were beaten and they were in prison. Now, because they had interrupted the cash flow, cast the demons out of the young girl. Now, they had interrupted the cash flow from the masters, and it said back there they had interrupted and messed with their game. They had no income. Now, the crowd, their emotions ran high also. And see, these were Jews, the Paul and Silas. But the town that they were in, they were Roman. And you see, the Romans did not have a limit on the number of stripes or beatings that they can produce or give to an individual. They beat them until they got satisfied. You see, they were beaten just like our Lord and Savior was beaten, without a cause. Paul recalled this incident once again. If you go to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 2, you'll find these words. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you and the gospel of God with much contention. And you see, church, that's what we need to do. We need to be bold and stand on the word of God. We keep saying that we know where he has brought us from. But it seemed like we come to church and we want to sit down on where he has brought us from instead of giving him all the honor and praise that he is due. We need to be bold enough to stand up and not be ashamed to let people know that I'm mighty glad that God has gotten his arms all around me. We should not be ashamed to let our neighbors know that I am proud of where God has brought me. We getting back while the earthquake in Philippi that night rocked the jail. There were some other things that rocked it as well. Things that can still rock any place around us today if we would stand on the word of God. What shook the jailhouse that night beside the earthquake will not register on the Richter scale today. The impression of the action of two men that were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, who cared more for the work of their Lord than they did for their own lives. Now, as the dust settled in Luke's description of the effects of the earthquake, I'd like to say that it wasn't only the earthquake that rocked the jail that night. I saw in this passage of scripture three other things that I call the C-cubed. And that the jailhouse was rocked, number one, by courage. Number two, the jailhouse was rocked by compassion. And number three, it was conversion that also rocked the jailhouse. Now, the courage shown by Paul and Silas that night was as rare in their day as it is in ours today. Thank God for the example that he gave us of Paul and Silas, of their good attitude. You must ask God to help you and to help you have a good attitude. Like Paul and Silas, when you have trials and tribulations in your life. When we run into trials and tribulation, the first thing we say is, why me? Why not you? We think, if you think back on Jesus Christ, what did he endure? But we look back and we say, why me? But you see, the reason we go through trials and tribulation is for growth. It's for growth that God will use us somewhere. Now, Paul and Silas, when they was in that prison, I don't want you to tell me they were just doing what came natural. What comes natural when you're in a situation such as the one they were in. We say that when they started to sing and when they started praying in the midst of their storm, that is not a natural situation today. If we, as I said, we get into a situation, the first thing that we want to do, if we don't do that, is to curse. We want to do other things other than to sing and praise God. We want to do everything else but to praise and worship God. Now, I know that we all are saved. We say that I wouldn't do that. But if we remember when we were back years ago, when something went wrong, what was the first thing we did? We didn't think about Jesus Christ. We didn't think about God. We thought of everything but him. And if that maybe you would have withdrawn if you didn't curse, vowing never to get involved with helping someone else because the cost was too high. They may have thought that it may have been better for them if they had shut their mouth and not butted in. They could have said that the next time they would mind their own business. But I want to say right here, if you see something or situation that's going wrong, and you know that it's wrong, it is not good to shut your mouth and let it continue to happen. We must tell somebody. We must not be ashamed to tell them that it's wrong. Because God said in his word that he will not leave you, nor will he forsake you. So they were not doing that what was just natural. They were doing what comes hard, and that is the standing on the word of God. They was just doing what we need to do. They were doing what takes courage. And in order to have that courage, we got to know our Bible. We got to know how to contact with Jesus Christ. We got to stay in fellowship with him. Now, getting ahead of myself a little bit, remember the scripture said it was at midnight when Paul and Silas, they began to pray and sing praises unto the Lord. And you see, this was in the midst of their trouble after they had been beaten brutally. But they still took time to pray and sing praises unto the Lord. And you see, this is what we must do. But we don't think about praying sometimes. We just say what I said earlier, why me? But good God Almighty, you see, we live in a generation that think that it takes courage to get out of bed on a Sunday morning and come out to church. They think that it takes courage to talk to someone and tell them where we stand with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This kind of courage will shake things up. And this kind of courage will shake a house that's full of hardened criminals because it's so hard and so unnatural. Luke tells us in verse 25 that the prisoners were listening to them. And my God, not because they sound like Macedonian Missionary Baptist Church choirs. It wasn't because, good God Almighty, the concert quality of their singing that attracted the crowd of listeners in the jail that night and got the place rocking. It wasn't that concert-like quality. When our attractions or when our
actions in our everyday living stand out no more than the actions of the world that's around us. Do we really wonder, my God, why there are more people not beating a path to our doors, coming to us and saying, what must I do to be saved? Good God Almighty, I'm not saying that such courage will change the multitude, but here and there, good God Almighty, are good and honest hearts that will be changed. When they can see something real, my Lord, they want to see something that isn't choreographed. They want to see something that's not rehearsed in a studio. They want to see God in your life. So church, let us be real. When God, he said, there's a song that says God is real, and I know that he is real because he's real in me. Let us show that God, good God Almighty, is real in our lives. Let us not sit on, good God Almighty, our stool of do nothing, but wait until somebody pump you up. But when God woke you up this morning, that should be enough to say, praise God, good God Almighty, you have blessed me, and I'm gonna give you all the praise and honor that you deserve. You didn't have to do it, but good God Almighty, you loved me, and you did. So church, let's praise God. Let's praise God. Good God Almighty, I must move. My God, you look at the book of Matthew, chapter 10 and verse 28. Good God, and you know what it says? It says, and fear not them which kill the body, my God, but are not able to kill the soul, but fear him, my Lord, which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. My God, you see, we cannot be afraid of man, but because God said, I will be with you always. But man, yes, he can kill this old body, but he can't kill my soul. God gave me the authority to resist Satan. And if we live right, we be obedient to the word of God, God will protect you from all hurt, harm, and danger. It was courage that rocked the jailhouse that night. It shook the lives of the prisoners. My Lord, that's the same courage could rock your household. The same courage, my Lord, if we would come together as a church, it will rock this church. My Lord, it can rock, good God Almighty, this world. But we got to be like Paul and Silas. When trouble comes, we must pray and sing praises unto God. Let us not be one of the ones that will withdraw and sit back and don't do anything. But the Lord will provide and he will protect you. Just pray and ask him for his guidance. But if you don't invite him in, you're gonna be left out there by yourself. So ask God to come into your life and be ready to do what the Lord have you to do. Good God Almighty, the scripture said, and suddenly there came a great earthquake, my Lord, so that the foundation of the prison house was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, my God, and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer saw what had happened, what was the first thing he wanted to do? He gave up and he wanted to commit suicide, because we know the penalty that it tells us. And during that time, if a prisoner escaped under your watch, you were gonna be crucified or you were gonna be killed, and it wasn't a beautiful sight. So he wanted to end his life for himself, but just before he did that, he heard a voice and it says, do thyself no harm, do thyself no harm. We are all still here. We are all still here. Now we know that they had plenty of opportunity to leave once they were free, but no, they didn't leave. They stayed right there, and they, because they knew that the jailer, as well as the prisoners, they needed a savior just as they did. But God, he moved in mysterious ways, and as strange as it may seem, good God Almighty, because they did not leave, oh my God, he is recorded in Luke verse 26 when it tells us there that all of the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. We can tell for the jailer, there was only, as we said, one thing for him to do, and that was to commit suicide. My God, I want you to put yourself in Paul and Silas's place. Good God Almighty, they were falsely accused. They were beaten for no reason, but spreading the word of God. It says in verse 24 that suddenly the jailer, he took them, I'm backing up a little bit, that when they were put in prison, he threw them, since he was in charge, threw them into the inner jail. And that bothered me, what that inner jail was. But the only thing that I come up is that It was a dungeon within the jail. They were so deep that no one could get to them. But God has a way to getting to each of you, no matter what the situation. Something else, good God Almighty, besides the earthquake, had shaken the jail that night. My Lord, the second tremor was unleashed on the house. Had Paul and Silas spent another second or two, they could have walked out of the jail and stepped over the body of the only remaining obstacles that were between them and freedom, my Lord. But they did not do that. This man had a soul. Also, he needed Jesus in his life, just like they did. Good God Almighty, just as the other prisoners, they also needed Jesus in their lives. So Paul and Silas, my Lord, they stayed right there. They stayed right there, even though they may have been beaten again. Good God Almighty, may have been incarcerated indefinitely. They stayed regardless of what was going to happen to them. And so that is my second point. Call courage. It took courage to care for someone else when you have the opportunity to leave and become free. And that's putting someone else before you. But God, God, such compassion has had a power impact on the people around you. Good God, it's God, the jailer's heart. It changed the jailer's heart. Good God Almighty, it stopped escaping prisoners from their tracks. It was good God, compassion. Also, they rocked the jail that night. We need to keep on moving on. Now, I realize that takes courage to change. It takes courage to care for others. Our caring for other people could be a dangerous thing. It leaves you open for hurt and disappointment. It may be because you've had so many disappointments in your life that you don't want to trust and care for anyone. But remember what God said, love me as I love you. Love ye one another, caring for each other. God will take care of everything else if we just leave and put it in God's hand. Everything will be all right. I found that indifference was an antidote for compassion. I found that indifference was an antidote for compassion. And we as Christians need to care for our neighbor. Show compassion on us and each other, just as God shows compassion on you and I. Each and every day, he gives us more grace and more mercy, even though we don't deserve it. But God give you mercy and grace. Let me move on. Good God Almighty, was it the earthquake of the or the courage and compassion of Paul and Silas that rocked the jailer's life? I suggest to you that it wasn't the miracle. In fact, the earthquake may not have looked like a miracle thinning from the point of view of the jailer. And why I say that? Because he was about to kill himself. So it may not look to him as a miracle. It was only after Paul and Silas showed compassion in the face of their mistreatment that he inquired about salvation. Then, as is now, it was an extraordinary behavior of God's people in the play in the face of adversity that impacted the lives of those around them. That is what happened. The lives of the jailer as well as the other prisoners was impacted by the singing and the praising of God by Paul and by Silas. The most important thing is let us stand on the word of God. Let us stand and be for real with God. God is real with you. And if you believe and trust in God as you say you do, God will. He will take care. He will take care of you. But I like, good God Almighty, when the jailer came to Paul and Silas in the 30th verse where he said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Lord, we as Christians, we know what it takes to be saved. We got to believe on the word of God. We got to trust in Jesus Christ. We got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. We got to be for real with God. God, and I like what Moses said. He said, stand back and watch the salvation of my Lord and Savior. If you would take your hand, good God Almighty, off of the situation and watch my God move, I guarantee you, good God Almighty, He will move in that circumstance, no matter what it is. Just give it over to God. Just like Paul and Silas, they gave it over, good God Almighty, to God Almighty. And did He move at midnight? Lord, and in your midnight may be 12 o'clock in the afternoon, but you got trouble, and that could be your midnight. It could be 8 o'clock in the morning. Lord, have mercy. That could be your midnight, but give it over to God and leave it alone. God will. He will take care of you. He will, good God Almighty, take care of you. God will take care of you. Lord, I know you've been so good. Lord, I know you've been so good. good, 'cause you watch over me all night long. Lord, I know you so good. Lord, I know you spared my been good. God has been so good. God has been good. And with that, we want to extend an invitation. If there's anybody here that's out of the ark of safety, if there's anybody here that don't know that they are a child of the King, if there's anybody here that don't have a church home, if there's anybody here that want to come forward, this doesn't have to be your church home. We can get a letter to whomever or wherever you want it to go. We just want you to come into the household of faith. Is there anyone here? Tomorrow is not promised to you. While you may hear that little voice being on your shoulder, it is time to move. We can't wait till tomorrow. Sometimes we hear people say, I got a little time when I get a little bit older. Tells you you're going to get older, because the Bible tells us in His Word that tomorrow is not promised to you. Good God Almighty, is there anyone? Lord, we thank you. God bless you. And may heaven smile upon you.